The following talk was given at the Insight Meditation Center in Redwood City, California. Please visit our website at audiodharma.org.
So, good evening or good afternoon. Or maybe some people are listening to this sometime later. And maybe good morning or some other time, whenever you're listening. So today, I wanted to talk a little bit about earthworms. Just that, the point, I'll get to a point here, but maybe I'll start with saying that earthworms are often underappreciated. And I'm not a real serious gardener at all. So they certainly are underappreciated in my little world. But they do the important work of kind of like tilling the soil, and that they increase the amount of oil and water, and they break down organic matter, and then they kind of create, make a certain type of fertilizer that they deposit in the soil. So, and if they didn't do this, then the soil wouldn't be able to support growing things. So, but they're often like, you know, underground, not seen, very quietly, not in a showy way, doing this really important work. And Ajahn Chah, who is this Thai master, of course, master, and he's the teacher of a lot of the Buddhists in the West. Jack Kornfield is being a notable one. Jack was a monk under Ajahn Chah. And so Ajahn Chah came up with this expression, earthworm wisdom. That is, simple acts, simple reflections that may not get noticed but are invaluable. Things that are, you know, maybe even just ordinary, but really make a difference. And one type of earthworm wisdom that Ajahn Chah talked about is the importance of taking care of our communities, whether that's our immediate people that we live with, whether it's our greater community, whether it's a sangha, or there's so many different ways in which we can understand communities, and probably a whole bunch of different communities that we are involved with, you know, either directly or indirectly. But pointing to the importance of responding with our hearts to what's happening in our communities. That is, giving people the benefit of the doubt instead of just immediately jumping on and saying that that person intended to harm me, or that person is an idiot, they don't know what they're talking about. But instead, to just give them the benefit of the doubt, maybe they have different information than I have. Maybe their intention was okay and they didn't intend to harm me or say something that was hurtful. Maybe they didn't notice it was hurtful. Respond with our hearts in terms of not creating and holding on to grudges. It's part of the human experience that we do harm one another, whether we're intending to or not. Sometimes we get hurt by what other people say or by what they don't say, as well as some of their actions. So is there a way in that, even though we might be harmed, to not hold on to this grudge? Because, of course, a grudge harms us. It's a way in which our heart gets kind of tight and crusted over in some kind of way, and that we're no longer available to, not as open to some of the beauty and warmth that might be experienced in this world. And to respond with our hearts also means to forgive others and to forgive ourselves when we make a mistake. People make mistakes. And when I'm saying this, it might be easy to think like, but wait, there's lots of injustice that's happening. There is a lot of people not respecting other people's barriers, and there's lots of people just behaving poorly. Absolutely. So I'm not saying that we have to tolerate injustices. And I'm not saying that we have to allow people to take advantage of us or speak to us disrespectfully. But is there a way that we can maintain our barriers? Is there a way in which we can work for social justice that includes giving people the benefit of the doubt, that includes not holding on to grudges, that includes forgiving others and forgiving ourselves? Often forgiveness involves we need to forgive ourselves too for allowing ourselves to be treated that way, or forgive ourselves for, I don't know, that's a whole nother talk that perhaps I'll give, but this sense of forgiveness just needs to go all around. So it also includes this earthworm wisdom of taking care of our communities, the people we live with, our wider communities, whatever makes sense for you. For some people, they may be more oriented towards the greater community. Some people are more oriented towards their immediate family, their households, their pets, whatever it is. Whatever it is, we all have kind of where we feel most aligned at this moment, right? That might change later in our life, or maybe there have seasons, but right now, however you are defining that. So part of this earthworm wisdom of taking care of the community also includes paying attention to how others are doing. And reaching out if it seems like someone is struggling and could use our help. Right, and this takes discernment, this takes skill, this takes wisdom to be able to do this, but to part of being part of a community is to not just be taking care of ourselves, of course, but to be able to lend a listening ear or lend a hand, if that's appropriate, or whatever might be needed. And so this kind of earthworm wisdom, maybe it's earthworm kindness, creates an environment that is supportive and uplifting. And all of us want to have an environment that is supportive and uplifting. And so maybe we can be part of the, I'm trying to think of a good metaphor. One doesn't come to mind right now, but we can be part of what makes this happen, to have an environment that is supportive and uplifting. Without being Pollyanna-ish and without allowing people to be disrespectful or harmful. But is there a way that we can have softness in our hearts that leads out into our communities? Earthworm wisdom. I'm tickled by this, actually. Maybe earthworm kindness. This such important, meaningful, and if it didn't happen, wow, what a different place we would live in. That's something sometimes to consider, is the absence of things that we sometimes might take for granted what our lives would be like without them. And so if we didn't have earthworms, yeah, we would be in a heap of hurt. And so in the same way, to think that if we didn't have these kindness, or this earthworm kindness maybe. Okay, so with that as an introduction, we can do some loving kindness practice, because of course loving kindness practice is a way in which helps us to keep our hearts open, helps us to not hold grudges, helps us to forgive ourselves, forgive others, helps us to give people the benefit of the doubt. Yes, if our heart can be softened, warmed up in some kind of way. Okay. So to begin some meditation, You can take an alert, upright posture. And just feeling into the body, just arriving into the body. Just feeling what it feels like to be sitting here now. That is to sit and know you're sitting. How do you know you're sitting? What are the bodily sensations that let you know that right now you're sitting? And then to check in with maybe different parts of the body. There might be some areas, some regions that have some tension, some tightness. Can we bring a warm-hearted awareness to those areas? There might be some tension around the mouth or the jaw. Maybe around the shoulders. Sometimes we hold a tightness in the belly. Can you allow the belly to relax and soften? And then you might be noticing, of course, that the body is breathing. We can rest our attention on the sensations of breathing. And if the mind wanders, just very simply, gently begin again. We don't have to make mind wandering be a problem. It's just something that the mind does. And then to begin our loving kindness practice. And remembering that we can always come back to this practice, mindfulness of the body or mindfulness of breathing. This is always available to us. If for whatever reason, loving kindness practice doesn't feel like the right practice to be doing. But to begin loving kindness practice, we like to start where it's easy. Kind of like jumpstart the heart in some kind of way. So bring into mind a lovable being. Whether that's an imaginary kitten or puppy or baby or some creature that just softens and warms the heart. Or maybe it's somebody that you know, that you have a relationship with, you have an uncomplicated relationship with. Maybe it's somebody that you don't know. And in terms of you don't have a relationship with them, but they've touched you in some kind of way that you have warmth and care, respect, goodwill. And then to maybe check in with the body and to like feel the connection to this lovable being. Maybe there's something there, maybe not too. It's perfectly fine if there isn't any bodily experience, physical experience. But to support our cultivating loving kindness, having this lovable being in mind, can repeat these phrases. May you be safe. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. May you be safe. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. May you be safe. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. For some people, And I like to have like a really clear image of the lovable being. For some other people, the image isn't so clear, but they feel the warm-heartedness that arises with the lovable being. And for some other people, maybe like repeating the phrases and tapping into these sincere wishes are what's supportive. All of us can find our own way with this practice. May you be safe. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. And then to expand our loving kindness, to include ourselves, of course we send loving kindness to ourselves. So either tuning into the felt sense of being here this moment, or perhaps an image of yourself. May I be safe. May I be happy. May I be healthy. May I live with ease. May I be safe. May I be happy. May I be healthy. May I live with ease. You might check in with the body, with sensations in the body. Is there any warmth or openness or spaciousness? And if so, can you allow it to get as big as it would like? Maybe that warmth or spaciousness can be a support for your loving kindness. And then to extend our loving kindness even further for a neutral person, somebody we don't have a relationship with, we don't know. Maybe somebody on this Zoom call, maybe somebody in your neighborhood. It can be helpful if, as best as you can bring to mind the neutral person. May you be safe. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. me for the neutral person, it really is earthworm kindness, in the sense that it might not be seen and might not be appreciated by others. But we never know the consequences of our having some warm-heartedness towards somebody that we don't even know. And then we can end with some equanimity practice. And for this practice, bring to mind somebody that you do have a relationship with and you care about. And sometimes they're a little bit bothersome, a little bit irksome. Not the most difficult person. But somebody just a little irksome. And bringing them to mind. I wish you happiness, and I cannot make your choices for you. I wish you happiness, and I cannot make your choices for you. I wish you happiness, and I cannot make your choices for you. A certain type of earthworm wisdom, recognizing what we can control and what we can't change. I wish you happiness, and I cannot make your choices for you. And then to end this meditation, feel your feet on the ground, feel the pressure of the chair or cushion against your body. And when you're ready, you can gently open your eyes. This idea of quietly, maybe not even noticed by anybody, the way that we have some kindness towards others, taking care of our community in simple, small ways, maybe smiling or whatever it might be. In this COVID era, maybe the way that our communities are different. And maybe it's reaching out or helping out in some kind of way. So it can be helpful to talk about these ideas and to share them with others as a way to kind of, sometimes we don't really know our thoughts or our ideas until we hear ourselves saying them out loud. So I'd like to put you into some breakout rooms where you can discuss this idea of kindness as a, I like the word earthworm better than stealth, but maybe they're related. I don't know, but we can discuss that. So you can talk about this idea of kindness as part of taking care of our community. And or you can talk about just how that meditation was for you. And it's helpful if you don't say absolutely everything you have to say at the very beginning, but just say one or two points and then allow it to go to the next person. They say one or two points. Then it goes to the third person and they'll say one or two points. And there'll be three or four of you in a room. And then allow it to come back around so that then when it comes back, now you will have heard other people's ideas, and allow yourself to be influenced by them, as opposed to telling a really long story, or as opposed to, it's not like a usual conversation, it's not like the normal way in which we converse, certainly, but it's a great opportunity to offer the kindness of listening to people, allowing them to say one or two points, and then to really allow it to touch us. And maybe what we say is influenced. Maybe not too, but maybe it is. So we'll meet for 12 minutes. And let's have, we'll go by birth month. So if you're born in January, you can go first. And if you're born in December, you can go last. And we'll meet for 12 minutes. Okay, have fun. Okay, so welcome back. Would anybody like to share some insights, some discoveries, or something that was interesting or fun from the small group? Yes, Claire.
This is not from the small group exactly. I was just starting to talk about it when we lost time. But I love the words you chose, supportive and uplifting, because I have for quite a large amount of time with you been working on a board of, in my building, executive board. And, there are only five of us. And you would think, it's unbelievable how we can disagree on just about everything. Little simple things take 20 emails. So I realized I've really tried to be kind, but I haven't really tried to be supportive and uplifting at all. And, so these are new thoughts for me to sort of entertain and see how I can maybe incorporate them into my own behavior. I mean, they're not going to change, but I can. So
nice. Thank you, Claire. Thank you.
Thank you.
Anybody else have a comment? Trudy.
Yeah, we talked a bit about equanimity, and part of our discussion was about using equanimity on the COVID deniers and how that felt. And that I hadn't thought of that before, so I think it's a very practice that I can begin to develop.
Nice. Yeah. An alternative to I could say all kinds of things, but an alternative to having the heart get contracted, right? Not to be open. Yeah. Our life unfolds so much better, right? If we have some softness, some ease in our hearts. Absolutely. Okay, well, it's the top of the hour. If you're on this side of the continent, it's 7 p.m. It's a really different time if you're on another continent. But I don't know, I actually feel supported and uplifted just practicing with you guys. It's really wonderful. So deep bows, and we can unmute and say goodbye. So bye.
Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye.
Thank you, Diana.
Have a good night, folks. I love you. See you tomorrow.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Thank you, Diana.
Thank you, Diana. Yeah.
You're welcome.
You're welcome.
Thank you.